Welcome to Voice of the Public's Radio Town Hall meeting with Las Cruces Mayor Ken Miyagashima. I'm Edmundo Resendez, your host for this special show. Call in at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join Anthony Moreno, who is standing by the social media desk, ready to hear from you. We're live streaming the show on Facebook, so you can tune in and join in on the conversation and get a good look at everybody's faces. Mayor Ken, welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public.
Well, thank you, Edmundo. Good afternoon to you and Anthony and your listeners. So I'm looking forward to this. This is always a great opportunity to get a chance to hear from the public, some of the questions that's concerning them, and perhaps I might be able to shed some light on some other things that they may have always wanted to know, but were afraid to ask.
Well, and that's what we want to get to. Okay. We want to find out what makes Mayor Ken tick and all that good stuff. But let's get some business out of the way.
Sure.
Talk to us about the state of the city as we are in 2017. We're more than halfway through the year. Where are we?
Well, the state of the city is great. Our financial condition is strong. I'm sure you saw recently that Wallet Hub, which is a financial services company, ranks various cities throughout the United States. They usually rank the top 150 cities, and we came in sixth place nationwide, number one in the state. And one of the things that they looked at was our budget versus the amount of services that we're able to keep, as well as the type of revenues and reserves that we keep on hand. So I have to credit our previous city manager and management team, Robert Garza, Brian Denmark, Mark Winston, as well as our current team of Stuart Eade, Bill Studer, and David Dallahan, as well as my colleagues there in the city council for really a lot of their we're able to not overspend. We basically, whatever monies we come in, we spend it wisely. And then ultimately, it's the city staff. They really do a great job. They're not one of these who say, hey, we've got so much in the budget, let's spend it, use it all, so we get, you know, the same next year. Excuse me. They actually end up spending maybe not all of it. And sometimes we have an extra surplus, a million and a half on hold.
Talk to me about... Let's talk about some issues that we've had over the last 10 years. You've been mayor for how long now?
10 years.
So let's talk about 10 years. You know, one of the big issues that came up a couple of years ago was the minimum wage. When is the next round of minimum wage increase, and how has the minimum wage impacted the city business-wise? The
next round is going to start January 1st, 2019. It's supposed to go up to $10.10 an hour. The last increase was January 1st, 2017, which was earlier this year, and that was $9.20. Overall, I think the minimum wage increase has been good. I think it's fair to say there have been a few businesses that have struggled with it. It's a challenge, of course. Anytime you have to pay a little bit higher wages, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to reduce the hours, or you may eliminate a position. It'd be nice if you could force people to frequent your business more to make up for the increase in expenses, but nonetheless we recognize that that's not doable.
Why was the minimum wage such a huge fight? Why were there so much opposition? You had a lot of people that came out in favor of it, and it just seemed that there were a lot of conversations that occurred, and it seemed like it was a bruising fight.
Well, right. You've got one group that who petitioned the city council and felt that, today's worker, the minimum wage wasn't being kept up with the minimum amount that was needed to be able to provide what they feel is a somewhat livable wage. And then you had another group, those, of course, business owners and such, that felt that it wasn't government's place to tell them how much to pay a worker. So laid the compromise or the opportunity for a compromise. And fortunately, it was he's now State Representative Nathan Small who kind of brokered a compromise and was able to put that together.
Where do you see, as we look down the road for wages in Las Cruces, do you see the state of New Mexico having a conversation and increasing the wage across the state?
I think it's inevitably going to happen. I don't know if it's going to go quite the degree that the city is at, or even the city of Santa Fe, for that matter, or Albuquerque. But I think that there's probably going to be somewhat of a proposal to get into the $8 range.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation to ask the mayor, or as he's been calling it off air, stump the chump.
Stump the chump.
What questions do you have for City Hall? You can also join us on our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno is standing by, ready to hear from you. If you've got questions or comments regarding what the future of the city of Las Cruces is, and you'd like to chime in and let us know what's on your mind, feel free to join us on our social media desk, or again, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. We are live streaming the show on Facebook. You can join in on the conversation there and watch the show live stream. Anthony Moreno, what are people saying on social media?
Thanks, Edmundo. On Facebook, we have a couple questions for Mayor Miyagashima. Connie asks, what do you consider to be the top three concerns for the city of Las Cruces that you think city government can actually help shape the solutions? The top three things that you consider to be the top three concerns here that the city faces?
Well, those are great questions. I think the first one we'll start would be the hold harmless monies. You know, right now you've got the state wanting to, you know, they're in a tough bind because the previous administration, specifically Governor Richardson, had made a deal with cities that they wouldn't touch the hold harmless money. You've got the current administration who said, you know what, we don't have any money. We're going to have to break this deal here. Well, if you really look at it, let's say, for example, gross receipts tax is 8.375. And let's just say that about we only get a third of it, the city does. And the other two-thirds more or less goes to the state. Well, if we, I wouldn't necessarily call for eliminating the Department of Finance Administration, but why do we need to give it to the state for them to turn around and give it right back to us? So there's an inefficiency there. So if we could somehow look at working with the state to reduce that inefficiency, not only can gross receipts be reduced, it can also lend itself to helping other communities throughout the state having to raise taxes. So that I think is one.
Is there, you know, you bring up the relationship though between the city and state to really make this happen. How do you feel the relationship is between the city of Las Cruces and the state government? Or is there any particular department that you have a challenge, you know, dealing with?
Good question. I think the state of New Mexico administration has different philosophies when it comes to how to deal with tax dollars. And I think we're a little bit more pragmatic. I think our approach is probably a little bit, probably is a little bit better. But nonetheless, we have to respect that they are the lawmakers for the state, and it's ultimately their department. So if they choose not to want to go in that direction, we're hoping that perhaps maybe future administration will.
I want to get back to Connie's question. What are some other issues, a couple other issues that you think are really major issues that the city is facing?
The other one, I think, would be renewable energy. You know, one of the things that we've been able to do at the city of Las Cruces is look at different ways to use things that are free, specifically solar, to help generate and reduce monies that are currently spent to pay El Paso Electric to run our types of, you know, our facilities. I mean, we're projected to save, our electric bill is about $5 million a year. We're projected to save 20% of that, or $1 million. So that $1 million can be used for other things.
Okay, any other top issues that you think the city is really facing some challenges with?
Yes, water. If it was just the state is one thing, because we, the city of Las Cruces, has the second most senior water rights. New Mexico State, ironically, has the most senior. But when you start throwing in the federal government, who's wanting to get involved with this, specifically Elephant Butte Irrigation District, although they're a quasi-governmental body, kind of puts a little bit more of a different twist in there. So that's something there that we're going to have to deal with and get that resolved, because without that water, we're not going to go anywhere.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Let us go to our phone lines where Lucas is standing by. Lucas, welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public today. Ask the mayor. Lucas.
And thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you taking the time to speak to the public like this. I just had a question. You know, yesterday we had over 100 people on campus rally in solidarity with the from the federal government and the program. I've always been very proud of our city. For instance, our police chief stating publicly that you know, his job is not to enforce federal immigration law. I know that he's stepping down, and so I have I guess one broad question: and what is the city going to do to, you know, ensure that as they search for a new police chief, that that value is still held up under that new employee? And what other steps is the city considering, including voting on becoming a sanctuary city, to help protect immigrants that are that call Las Cruces home?
Thank you, Lucas.
Yeah, thanks, Lucas. A couple things. I guess there's quite a few questions I'll try to address. First off, what you're referring to is the policy of the city of Las Cruces. So the future next police chief, has to adhere to our policy. So I'm sure that question will be raised. One thing that I just want you to be aware of, I am a big supporter of DACA. I'll be setting that on the agenda for next Monday for a resolution to be forthcoming to be voted on the following Monday. And one of the things, Lucas, and just to kind of clarify, when you were talking about what how the police chief handles it, right now, if you have someone that's pulled over, and let's say they're pulled over for a speeding ticket. Okay, you give them your driver's license, proof of insurance, things of this nature, given a ticket, you're on your way. There's never no mention of what your immigration status is. Now, let's say you happen to have a criminal record, maybe you're wanted on a warrant for your arrest. Okay, so you're arrested. Still, there's no discussion as far as your immigration status. But now you're taken to the Doñana County Detention Center. You're going to be basically classified or booked in there. And then at that time, that issue is going to be raised. And then federal authorities will be called. So we feel that this is the best policy that there is. So I don't see us changing that.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk, where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to just follow up on that statement that you made. You mentioned that you were going to put forth resolution regarding DACA. Could you kind of clarify for our audience what that resolution will entail exactly?
Yeah, basically, Anthony, it'll say the benefits that DACA has. The benefits that immigrants have. You know, let's take me, for example. My maternal grandparents are from Mexico. My paternal grandparents are from Japan. I probably, if you take a look at some of the largest corporations in the world, probably were started by immigrants. They're, you know, not all started by Americans. So immigrants have a tremendous play and have done tremendous work here in the United States. And to allow the best and brightest from other countries to not be allowed to stay here, get educated here, perhaps start businesses here that could lead to jobs. I'm sure that's going to be a question down the road here in today's town hall meeting about jobs. And so, I mean, this is something here that I think that the administration, current administration, is just misguided on.
Well, speaking of the current administration, Attorney General Jeff Sessions has, put something forth to cities saying that he will withhold money to so-called sanctuary cities. Do you have any concerns about that, or how do you feel about those statements, or perhaps how the current administration may respond to actions like you're talking about putting forth with this resolution?
You're right. However, I think they had listed two or three different cities, and I know one was Albuquerque, but the city of Las Cruces was not on there, nor do I expect us to be.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Good afternoon. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Anthony Moreno standing by on the social media desk. We are asking the mayor, what's on your mind? It's a radio town hall meeting with Mayor Ken Miyagashima, mayor of the city of Las Cruces. Let's go to Nancy, who has been patiently standing by. Nancy, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you giving me this time. I live in Deming, and I am as old as dirt. And when I need specialists, I go to Las Cruces. And I'm on a limited income. I live on Social Security. And it cost me $165 for the taxi from here to take me to a specialist in Las Cruces. And, you know, our hospital here is small and it doesn't have the specialist. I've sold my house, and so the middle of October, I will be moving to Las Cruces. And I'm frankly worried about rentals over there. I have a small dog. She weighs 13 pounds and she doesn't bark. And is it possible to find an apartment there for $500 or $600 a month?
Yes, ma'am. There are. I'm aware of a few. Be more than happy to leave you my information with the station here, and then you can reach out to me, and I can make sure that there will be some real estate professionals who can find you something that's a good, clean, decent place for that will fit
Wonderful.
Your budget.
Right.
Thank you, Nancy.
Safe and everything. I thank you so much.
Sure, and looking forward to you moving into town.
575.
Oh, so am I.
We look forward to having you as a citizen and trying out the wonderful amenities that the city of Las Cruces has to offer. Mayor, Ken, let me ask you something that I'm always curious about. You know, you've been mayor for 10 years. You've been involved in city and county politics for over 20 years. What is the role of mayor of Las Cruces? What kind of issues do you have to deal with on a day in and out basis?
You know, Edmundo, there are no rules. I mean, there are. It's amazing the things that I've dealt with, and I have to tell you, it's really fun. I enjoy it. Every day is a different day. Just the other day, I had a meeting. I'll never forget. I asked my assistant. I said, "So, what am I meeting this lady about?" She says, "Well, she wants to know if you could help her regarding her transmission on her car."
Transmission, car, vehicle.
Yeah, right. And I said, "What?" She says, "Yeah, well, she doesn't have anyone to turn to." I thought, okay, well, you know, I've never turned anyone down. Literally, you have an appointment, we'll set it up. I may not be able to see you right away, but I'll eventually see you. So she comes in, and I tell her, I said, you know, I have to tell you, this is the first time I ever dealt with this, so I don't know if I'll be able to help you. And she says, okay, no problem. So she says she bought a car from a dealership here in town, bought a full that warranty, that bumper
that
to bumper
extended warranty.
Right. Well, yeah, extended. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm figuring we're going to have to contact the car dealership. And she says that. So I bought it from this dealership. They won't fix it, and I need my car fixed. And I said, okay, so do you have a regular mechanic? She says, yes. I take it to, you know, this one automotive place, and they looked at it, and they said, this is what's wrong. So she tried to take it to the car dealership, and they won't pay attention. So I said, well, I'm thinking, what am I going to do here? So I said, do you have that warranty? So she gave it to me. Bottom line, I looked at, there was a phone number. I called them. Real nice. They said, you know, they said, well, there's about probably a 98% chance that every auto repair place in your city will take our warranty. I said, really? It's not. They don't have to just go to this dealership. And he said, no. So I said, well, let me call this repair place, because she mentioned she had this one favorite place. So I called them. I'll just tell you, it was Baird's Automotive. I called them, and they said, oh, yeah, we take that warranty. They love that warranty. It's a, you know, pretty good warranty. So sure enough, I told the constituent that she can go to the place that she wanted to. So she was happy. And I was, you know, I learned something there. I always try to learn at least one thing new every day. And that was one that I learned. And a few days later, the car repair place called me to thank me because for helping her out. And it was great. There's nothing that I haven't really dealt with. I even helped. There was a... I wouldn't say kidnapping, but kind of. A woman married a Mexican national. They had two children. It was just time to keep the kids. He didn't want to come back. So they're in Cancun. And because of some of the contacts I had, plus Governor Richardson at that time, they worked out with the American State Department. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They got the kids. And it was almost like they said, okay, it's going down. She's going to be wearing this disguise. Plane's ready. They got the kids. They got them out of that school, and they're back in Albuquerque. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, we really don't disclose, but never a dull moment.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Join in on the conversation. It's a radio town hall meeting with Mayor Ken Miyagashima. Let us go to the phones next, where Ralph is standing by. Ralph, welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hello, Mr. Mayor. Thanks for listening to me. I had a question. In the city of Las Cruces, all, let's say the state, the whole state, is high, you know, it's a kind of a high unemployment rate. And I was wondering why city of Las Cruces hires a lot of contractors out of state and out of city, and we need the jobs here. Why do they do that? I mean, I'll give you a hint. It's a JU, Joint Utilities. They had a contractor from Kentucky, Indiana, Colorado. Why don't we keep the jobs here, especially if, you know, there's, you know, representative people here that can do the job and are contractors? Why does that happen?
Thanks, Ralph, for that question. So one of the things that we have to do as a public entity when we're dealing with taxpayer dollars is we have to actually go out to bid. We can't, there's certain limits that we can do sole source. Like, for example, if a particular job was done by a New Mexico company, one here in Las Cruces, let's say, you know, we can do sole source. A lot of times we have to actually go out to bid. And there are times we do give preferential treatment for those that are here locally and such. But unfortunately, there's times where, you know, in your case, like you said, it could be out of state. So they get that. A couple times, there'll be times where the city may not have quite that expertise. I know you said there are some employees there that could do the job. And you're right. You would think that we would do that. But one of the things that I have to tell you, and I think you said you work with utilities or you're familiar with it, is that's run by Dr. Jorge Garcia. And if you've often heard of people saying, hey, when I get elected, I'm going to run, you know, the government like a business. Well, he actually runs his like a business. It's called an enterprise zone. And so we don't give him money. What he generates is from the rates himself, and he pays employees through that. He basically runs it like a business. So I have to tell you this. If Dr. Garcia used an out-of-state, he's probably doing it because it saves him money, ultimately the ratepayer money. Because when he needs money, then he has to raise rates. But he has to justify it before a commission made up of people that we've assigned to the commission to actually go on behalf of the residents, almost like the Public Regulation Commission, to see whether or not what he's asking is warranted. So the bottom line is he's running it like a business, and if he thinks he can get the job done for a little bit cheaper using some contract employees as opposed to others, he may want to reserve his city workers for something else. That's something there. I don't get into that low of a that detail because that, I don't want to, we can't interfere with the day-to-day operations. And you know, he's been doing a great job there at utilities, and we appreciate the work that you do as well.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let us go to our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by. Anthony?
All right, Edmundo, once again, we want to remind people that you can also take part in this conversation on social media. You can give us the big thumbs up on Facebook. We have a video live streaming there as well where you can comment and ask your questions for the mayor or follow us on Twitter at KRWG. Mr. Mayor, we have a question from Terry on Facebook. She is asking what you are doing to assist the homeless population here in Las Cruces.
Well, thanks, Terry. Let's do that on two counts. One, let's take the homeless vets. We were eighth city in the nation to be able to go to what they call functional zero for eliminating homeless vets, veterans from our armed forces. What we do is we work with our partners there at Community of Hope through various means, such as, of course, money, some of the things that we're able to provide, different types of housing that we're able to do. So we did that, and we were able to eliminate that. As far as the others that you see, there's a campus out there, and I'll refer to it as Community of Hope. It's made up of different segments. You've got St. Luke's that helps with the medical needs. You've got the Caldito Soup Kitchen for those who need some nourishment. You've got what they refer to as Tent City, which is land that they've leased from the city of Las Cruces that allows those that are trying to help themselves. They're homeless, but they are trying to do something about it. You've got Jardín de los Niños that we give money to help if it's a homeless family and they have children, the children are being educated. And of course, there's other facilities there. So it's really one big campus that we basically help those less fortunate.
I want to follow up on what you said there. With the Community of Hope, there may be different funding methods that community is relying on with talks of budget cuts at the federal level and also the state strapped for cash. What is the city doing to anticipate any possible funding cuts that may impact the Community of Hope?
Oh, those have already existed, Anthony, and we've stepped up to the plate. Let me just tell you where we have money coming from. When the city and county leased the Memorial Medical Center Hospital, we receive a pretty large sum of money, basically $20 million apiece, $20 to the city, $20 to the county. We've been able to invest that. That fund has over $30 million in there. And so what we do is we earn about $600,000 a year in interest. We take half of it, which is $300,000, and we distribute that out. And a lot, that's money that we give to the to homeless and a few others. The other $300,000 keeps adding to the corpus, to the main amount, and it just keeps growing and growing, so that the amount that we're able to give out, hopefully in the future, will continue to increase as well.
575-646-2212. It is Ask the Mayor. It's a radio town hall meeting where you get an opportunity to ask Mayor Miyagashima what's on your mind regarding the future of Las Cruces. There's a lot of road construction. Want to ask the mayor? Now is your chance. There are other issues that affect the city. What's on your mind? This is your opportunity to ask Mayor Ken Miyagashima on Voice of the Public. Let us go to Ziki, who has been patiently standing by. Ziki, welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with the mayor.
Oh, hello, Mr. Mayor. Nice to speak to you. I have a two-part question here. First question is going to be as far as law enforcement in the city. Do you believe that community policing is actually making a positive impact within the community? And also my second question will be, as far as the crime rates go, I've noticed that the city of Las Cruces happens to have a spike every 2 years. If you actually look at the stats, it's pretty interesting. Every 2 years there happens to be a significant spike in crime. All crime happens to shoot up. Is there any reason you believe that may be happening due to the, I don't know, changing times or maybe the growing population of Las Cruces?
Well, okay, let's take with the last one first. When you say the spike in crime, I think as far as violent crime is down, now you may be talking about personal crime. You know, sometimes you see that in times of economic strain that sometimes you see a little bit more residential burglaries or some thefts of that nature. But as far as violent crime, as far as, you know, shootings and stabbings and whatnot, is down. Now, as far as the law enforcement and is community policing, does that help? I believe it does. I don't know if we've done it to its full extent. And when I say full extent is not only police officers walking the beat, but then also riding their bikes around and doing a few other things like that. So, Ziggy, right now we're being a little bit cautious. I'm sure you've heard, unfortunately, there's been over 85 police officers killed in the line of duty this year alone. Typically, that number is about 90 to 100 a year, and unfortunately, that has spiked. And so one of the things we all often want to do is just make sure our officers are safe and that they're able to go home to their families at the end of their shift. And so, nonetheless, crime's still going to happen, and we have to come up with some different ways to implement similarities that community policing does while still protecting the lives of our officers and keeping them as safe as possible while they're out doing their job.
Let us go to Luke, who's been standing by. Luke, welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with Mayor Ken Miyagashima.
Hi. Hello, Mr. Mayor. I'm a youth basketball coach here in the city for the past 5 years, and I've worked with both the City League with Audrey and the Southwest League with Keith, and they do a great job. One thing I've noticed is that we always, in both leagues, seem to have a shortage of basketball courts, and I also noticed that the Meerschaum Center was built in the 70s when the city was a lot smaller. So I was wondering if you guys had any plans to expand the recreation center, or as they do in other cities, build like sort of warehouse basketball courts or anything along those lines. Just because I've noticed that there's an expanding basketball community, but not enough courts, and it, especially in the winter when the time changes, a lot of teams that play outside can't play due to the darkness, school schedule, and weather. So I was just wondering if there's any plans to update any of the recreation facilities in the city.
Well, thanks for that question, Luke. I don't know if you've had a chance to meet the superintendent of schools, Dr. Greg Ewing. He's really a neat guy, and I really am glad that the school board chose him. He's one that works well with the city. What we're trying to work on right now, Luke, is like anything else, we're trying to make sure that when we spend your taxpaying dollars, that we spend it wisely and we make sure that it goes as far as it can go. So what we're thinking is this. You've got all these different schools that, you know, after 5 o'clock, other than basketball season, gymnasiums are empty. Well, of course, if there's volleyball. But one of the things we're looking at doing is partnering with the schools to be able to have access to these gymnasiums that aren't being used other than, say, for basketball. That way there, we can make sure that the public space is being utilized and we're not spending money that we don't really need to until something is being utilized. So those are some of the things we're trying to look at to try to provide the need that you're talking about, which I agree. We're also looking down the road here, be look on the lookout in the next few months as to some possibilities for us to expand on our recreational facilities.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You can also join us on our social media desk where Anthony Moreno is standing by ready to hear from you to ask the mayor what's on your mind. It is a voice of the public's mayor. I was going to call it the Mayoral Confidential, but it's actually a radio town hall meeting. Let us go to Ed, who has been standing by. Ed, welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with the mayor. Ed.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks, Ed.
Good, good. My wife and I just moved to Las Cruces from El Paso. I still own a business there, but have had some history in Las Cruces, and I'm very happy to be a member of the community, and I appreciate you having this time where people can call in. A minute ago, you were talking about the DACA and folks, and you used the term best and brightest. And I was just wondering, you know, I'd like to think of myself as a pretty sharp guy, you know, on a good day. But, I mean, that term, is there some standard by which you're measuring that? I've heard numbers, and I have done research on this, that probably about 30% of those folks are in prison or have been indicted for something. And so is that just a convenient term to use, or do you have some specifics, some information that you could share with the public about the best and brightest and how they, you know, their educational level, whether they graduated from high school or college, whether they're employed, those kinds of things?
Yeah. Okay, Ed. Well, first off, welcome from El Paso. We always enjoy... I used to rib Mayor Cook when he was in office, Mayor Leeser. Haven't had a chance to do so with Mayor Margo. But nonetheless, let me just clarify. Now, DACA is really primarily for students. They have to apply for a certain visa to show that they're going to be going to college. So I think you might have, I don't know, you may be confusing that with just overall immigrants, but DACA students are those, and a lot of times, you know, I've been different parts of the world, and there's certain, like I said, some of the best and brightest of those specific countries, they send their children to be educated in the United States. That's what I'm referring at. So I don't know if there was a mix-up in the two, but that's what I was referring as. And so forgive me I was talking about you. I'm talking about best and brightest. These kids coming from, whether it's Saudi Arabia, whether they're coming from Guatemala, whether they're coming from Mexico, Japan, whatever, those are the ones that I'm referring about.
575-646-2212. Join us on our social media desk where we have Anthony Moreno standing by. Anthony?
Thanks, Edmundo. You know, we were talking about DACA there earlier, and I think it's important for us to clarify some things for our audience and for the caller who called in. And first of all, you know, as you know, DACA, it stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. The program was created in 2012 by the Obama administration. And to apply for DACA, you know, it allows young people brought to this country illegally by their parents to give them a temporary reprieve from deportation and also receive permission to work, study, obtain driver's license, and serve in the military. Now, to do this, you have to be younger than 31 years old when the program began. Also, they have to have lived in the United States continuously since June 15th, 2007 and have to arrive in the U.S. before the age of 16. Now, also, if you want to sign up for DACA, you have to have a clean criminal record. So, and they also have to be enrolled in a high school or college or serve in the military. And that status is renewable every 2 years. So I think it's important for us to clarify that for our audience.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Standing by the social media desk.
And I do have a question. Okay. Yes. for the mayor. One thing that we have a question from Gabri, Mr. Mayor, and that question, I just want to quote it for you because this is a really an issue here in Las Cruces. You know, as something that I've been around, we've covered it a little bit here on KRWG dealing with recreation, but this is from Gabri, and I just want to quote her. She says she has a question. She is a disabled citizen. I am a disabled citizen, a young mother, and a lot of the services the city offers people with disabilities are geared toward the elderly disabled, like Dowel Ride, which she cannot participate because she says her kids are too young to go with her. Also, she says the accommodation in business, in her words, is horrible. She says that handicapped doors never work. There are no ramps. And she wants to know if you have any ideas or plans to improve problems of this nature.
Okay, sorry about that, Anthony. Thank you, Gabri. A couple things. One, I'm going to give you my email address. It's mayor, M-A-Y-O-R, at las-cruces.org. On the first question that Anthony brought up, I think you're right. And that's something there that unless, you know, sometimes we're always going 100, I'm always going 100 miles an hour until someone brings something up to me that makes sense. And you're right. I mean, you're right. A lot of our things that we have are geared towards the elderly and nothing for those that are younger and that are disabled. So please email me that so we can take a look at that and see how we can start incorporating that and not have to be a specific age so that you can ride, do Dial a Ride or whatever services we have. In 1990, the United States government passed a law called Americans with Disabilities Act. So what that means is if you've frequented a business that actually owned a building or owns a building or uses a building that was built before 1990, they're required to provide reasonable accommodations. So reasonable means you might be right. It may not be a whole lot of things that they do. If there are some that you frequent, be more than happy to take a look at it and see if they do have a valid permit. Now, anything built after 1990 has to be fully ADA accessible. So that way there, I guess what I'm trying to get at is email me, we'll set up a time, share with me some of more your concerns and see how we can address that and see whether or not a business is actually compliant to the Americans with Disabilities Act. We also have an ADA committee that we just restarted up again and be more than happy to perhaps have you on there to be able to provide some of your input. Because we're always looking to make sure that this city is as inclusive as possible, that we reach out to all of our residents that can share with us and provide us the best information.
It's Voice of the Public's Ask the Mayor on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. We have lots of calls, Mayor, standing by, so let's get to the calls. You are on with the Mayor, Polly. Welcome. Polly.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. What's
Hello.
On your mind, Polly?
First, I have a compliment. I want to thank the City of Las Cruces for building the Las Cruces Aquatic Center. It's the best thing any city I've ever been in has, and it's just a wonderful facility. I love it. I use it all the time. My question has to do with the extraterritorial zone. Could the mayor tell me exactly what the relationship is between the city and the extra, I call it terrestrial zone, but territorial zone, and if he sees that changing anytime soon?
Okay, well, thanks, Polly. Thanks for the kind compliments on the Aquatic Center. We appreciate that. That was one of our buildings that we built in 2010, and we're really proud of it. Regarding the extraterritorial zone, what that zone is if you were to take the City of Las Cruces boundaries and put 5 miles on every section of that, that would be considered the ETZ zone. That was done, that allowed cities an opportunity to have their say in as far as types of zoning, because typically cities tend to grow, and what they wanted to do is be able to have a little bit of a handle on the growth that occurs between the city limits and within 5 miles. Right now, the city and county basically have done away with the ETZ, extraterritorial zone. However, there are still plans and rules and procedures implemented. So if you live outside the city and you live in the county and you want to have a particular business or move in a particular area, you still have to deal with the county. The old way, you dealt with a committee that was city-county rules. It was kind of confusing for everybody. And so we feel that we've streamlined that. We did away with the actual name, ETZ, extraterritorial zone. But a lot of the basis or foundation that was part of the ETZ is still there as far as, you know, moving in different types of businesses and such. So hopefully that helped answer your question.
Brian is up next. Brian, welcome to KRWG's Voice of the Public. You are on with the mayor. Brian. Okay, Brian got a little bit shy. Mayor Miyagishima, there seems to be a lot of road construction around town, in particular on North Main. When is that scheduled for completion?
Well, thanks, Edmundo. One thing that I want to point out that a lot of times the city gets credit for, sometimes they get blamed for. That particular construction is a state project, state of New Mexico project, because North Main is actually a state highway. And so they're doing that. They're the ones who, if something goes wrong, I'm just going to say I'm sorry, but it's the state's problem. But to my understanding, we have tried to work with them, and they've been very accommodating on certain things. I can't tell you exactly when it's supposed to be finished. All I know is that things seem to be going okay. I know there's still a lot of frustrated drivers, but nonetheless, we have very limited input in that.
Francisco, you are on with the mayor. Francisco, welcome to Voice of the Public.
About bike lanes in this town, that we don't have a lot of good bike lanes, especially traveling east and west through the middle of town. As long as we're doing all this construction work, I don't see why we can't add more bike lanes. I have a lot of friends that would also like to get into cycling, but they're terrified because this town doesn't have good lanes. What lanes we have are full of broken glass and gravel. Traffic is pretty bad around here. I'm wondering if there's any plans to build more bike lanes.
Well, thanks, Francisco. For that question, one of the things I have to tell you, in the last, I'd say probably 7 years, the city has made great strides in being able to provide bike lanes. And I want to take a quick moment to give a quick shout out to a city employee named Andy Hume. He really helped educate city council on bike lanes and such. But getting back to your original question, can we do better? Absolutely. But I am proud of where we came from. If you were to go back when I first got on board in 2001, and I was a city councilor for District 6, you were lucky if you saw two or three bike lanes. Council's appetite for bike lanes back then was literally zero. But because of Andy and his educating the new council as times went on, we are now at bronze. So we've been able to be awarded a bronze city. Can we do better? Of course. There's silver and there's gold. So we're still looking to add to that. And we think that that's a nice, viable way to get residents throughout the city, reduce our carbon footprint, and save a few dollars driving in your car.
Let us go to our social media desk. Anthony?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to actually follow up on something that you brought forward. You know, you were talking about the need for, you know, the community and schools to kind of be connected a little bit. Where are we right now with the city of Las Cruces and, you know, the work that's being done to, you know, with this community school? Could you share with us a little bit about what's going on with that and, you know, how your involvement in your office is working with that?
You know, one of the things that I was really impressed with when the city of Las Cruces, earlier you heard me talk about, we were able to eliminate or get down to functional zero veteran homelessness. So I wanted to tackle poverty in Las Cruces. We are it's a very poor community. We rank very high as far as poverty is concerned. So I wanted to start small and basically say I didn't want any child to go to bed hungry in the city of Las Cruces. And so I found out that these school cafeterias, they basically get reimbursed $3 for every meal that they do, but it costs about $2 to produce it. So, but they sat idle on the weekends, on holidays, on the summer vacations. And so one day I was out talking, and I wanted to be able to provide the seed money so that the schools, because it takes about 3 months before the federal government reimburses you. So we got with the schools to see if they'd be willing to open up their cafeteria and we did. And that's exactly what's going on right now at Lynn Middle School. So you have families that, that can eat year-round, every day, and they're slowly getting reimbursed by the federal government. So it's to the point where it's not costing them anything. They're not necessarily making any money, but it's serving a great need, and it's a great partnership that we have with the schools, and we feel that that's a very great program, and we're looking to expand that throughout the city.
We have entered the speed round. We've got some calls we want to get in. Let's get them in. We've got about 9 minutes to go, so let us welcome Arrow. Arrow, you are on with the mayor. Arrow. Okay, well, let us go to Wayne. Wayne has been patiently standing by. Wayne, welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with the mayor.
Okay, I am here, and I am wondering about the Aquatic Center. I love it, but we need an Olympic-sized pool. Governor Richardson promised it with $5 million way back when. Turned down, then it was coming again, then it was not happening. And where are we in getting an Olympic-sized pool as part of the Aquatic Center?
Thank you, Wayne.
Wayne, we're looking to put a question to the public probably in February or March of 2018 that will include the funding for for about $10 million for the Olympic size swimming pool.
Let us go to Rosemary. Rosemary, you are on with the mayor.
Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hi.
So nice to have the opportunity to converse with you today. I've been a resident here for 20 years. And I have family and friends east and west, and I'm always traveling. And sometimes it's expensive, you know, it gets expensive. So even the bus also is very expensive. And I was wondering, I was just curious, what are the obstacles that are hindering the Amtrak transportation here in Las Cruces? Because that seems to be very economical.
I'm sorry,
Amtrak.
Amtrak. Oh, my goodness.
The train.
Yeah, that would be... We've looked into that, Rosemary, and let's put it this way. Just traveling between El Paso and Las Cruces would probably cost us over $100 million, okay? To get Amtrak, we have looked at trying to get Amtrak on the route. You've got to deal with leases. You got to get with BNSF. Then you got to get the trains. Then you got to get the money. But bottom line is, we would probably lose $300 to $400 million a year. I it sounds incredible, but transportation is not a money maker. Let's take, for example, Roadrunner Transit. We only get about 1/10 of the money from fares.
Let's go to Meg. Meg, welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with the mayor, Meg. Welcome. Okay, so Meg got shy. Mayor Mikishima, how long have you been involved in Las Cruces and Doña Ana politics?
It's fair to say I started in 1989. I ran for office first time in 1990. I didn't win, but came close. I learned an awful lot. I took 49.5%, and it was a great experience. I was running for state representative, and then 2 years later, I won the seat on the county commission. I was fortunate to win re-election in 96. And then 2001, I got elected city councilman for District 6, and then mayor 2007, which I've held that seat since 2007.
How have you seen changes in the way local races are run?
It's getting pretty dirty.
You know? Hey, that's my question to you. Is outside money or dark money having an impact on how races in Las Cruces are run?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got, take my last race, for example. You had $100,000 coming from some businessmen and women, I suppose, out of the east part of the state who claimed that they didn't like our tax policies. Well, to my knowledge, none of them, because we know we've identified them, have any type of business interest here in Las Cruces at all. I think it was had something to do with some other political figures.
Let us take one last call on KRWG. Last call, Steve. You are on with the mayor. Welcome.
Oh, hello, Mayor.
Hi.
Good to hear you doing well.
Thank you, Steve.
Mayor, our congressman, Steve Pierce, he's retiring, moving on. He's in good health. But I'm just calling. This is Steve Trowbridge.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? Good to hear from you.
I'm
you know,
doing
you,
well.
You were one of my favorite colleagues there. Then, you know, then forget the many times we had good talks. You know, Steve, I have to tell you something. I got remarried about 3 years ago. got three boys I adopted. I have a great family. I'm living the dream. I have a great family. I have I love being mayor, and you know, my other job that I do. Congress doesn't look that appealing anymore. I mean, maybe if you were to go back 10, 15 years ago when it was a different time in my life, oh yeah, I would have been chomping at the bit that Pierce is leaving.
I knew you would.
But it's different now, and I finally get it. I finally understand, you know, what it's like. And so thanks.
I'm very glad for you.
Good talking to you, Steve.
We're all very glad for you. You stay well, okay?
All right, you too, Steve. Thanks.
Ciao, man.
Thank you very much, Steve. Well, there we go, family reunion there.
Yeah.
Mayor Megashima, you know, one of the common complaints that I hear and, you know, in my involvement with the Chamber of Commerce and just different businesses is that I often hear this on social media and every time there's a city council election, and that is that Las Cruces is not business friendly. Is that true? Is that opinion valid in your opinion?
No, it's not. But I will tell you where it comes from, and I'll tell you some of the things that we're doing to change that. But let me use this a little analogy, Edmundo. So let's just say, for example, you have an account at a bank. Let's say it's, just to make it easy, Acme Bank. And there's no Acme Bank. But let's say you have an Acme Bank, and you know the president, okay? You're good friends with him. But there's a teller who just irritated you and just really got you upset. And you're so upset that you're just saying, you know, I don't know about this bank. You know, I'm going to close my account. And it's really not fair. It's not the bank that did it. You've got a great relationship with the bank, but it's because that one representative caused you to have that negative feeling. Well, I'm not going to deny that there's a couple of people that are out there that work in our division that can cause that and cause those type of ill will. And so one of the things that Stuart, our city manager, Stuart Eade, is trying to do is let them know he is a change agent. We need change. We want to make sure that yes, you do have that authority, but you need to not. There's two ways to do it. There's one to help educate the members of the public on how they can get their business going and how to get it permitted right. And there's another one saying, hey, well, you figure it out. So we want to make sure that they're one of those that are trying to help out and do a few other things. So one of the things that he did is he hired, his name is Donald Bustos. He works in the Economic Development Department. He's basically a concierge. So when you have a business that's starting up and you want to be able to weed through the different types of requirements that the city has, you get a hold of Donald, and he's going to walk you through that. And so, believe it or not, I hear what you're saying, but I say lately, in the last few months, I haven't heard that. So, in fact, I was just visiting with the Director of Community Development yesterday. He showed me, when you go to City Hall and you're applying for permits, you've seen these in different places, a happy face or a sad face or a kind of middle-of-the-road face,
yes.
And they hit this little button. And he showed me where each of the people running the various windows are graded on that. And almost all of them had 90% or above. So that's good. I think that helps. It's lending itself. So we'll see if that's a good way to do it. We're also looking at surveys out in the field to address some of the concerns you're saying. So hopefully those days are gone. But nonetheless, I will admit that, yes, I'd heard that too.
Mayor Megashima, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Voice of the Public's Radio Town Hall meeting. You have an open invitation to come back again. We got lots of calls.
Yeah, that was great. It was fun.
Fred Martino is Director of Content. Anthony Moreno worked the social media desk. Jacob Lockwood answered the phones and is our technical producer. And Mark Johnson handled production. I'm Edmundo Resendez. Thank you for joining us on Voice of the Public.